Once again, let's say thanks to the band, because I thought that was... So we conclude a mixtape series this Sunday, and the idea behind this series has been that we can, as Christians, engage secular things, culture, songs, music, movies, whatever it might be, that we can engage secular things from a theological perspective. And so one of the things that we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks is ways in which you and I as Christians should also be theologians, meaning that we think about things and we engage things theologically. How does it relate to God and God's relation to the world, right? And we're thinking about those things so that even throughout your typical normal day, you can be a theologian. Okay, and that would be my suggestion, that we, you and I as Christians, must really be theologians as we're thinking about the ways in which God interacts with and relates to our world. Now, it's interesting to note, in John chapter 17, one of the things that we find is that Jesus prays for future disciples. He prays for his current disciples as he's getting ready to face the cross. He prays for his current disciples, prays for the future disciples, being you and me, if you call yourself that. And he says, one of the things that he says in his prayer is that not that God would take us out of the world, but rather that we would be in the world and figure out ways in which we can engage it theologically, right? That we can be a light in a dark place. That's the whole idea of the salt and the light, that we would be in the world, not of it. So I'm gonna pray, and we're going to jump in. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can be here in this place. We give you thanks that you are present with us this morning. And so we pray that even if just for a moment you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week, from the week ahead, from even this morning, and that we would just simply hear your voice. And so we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to those things that you would have for us. We ask that your spirit might be our filter and our guide so that we would hear those things and everything else, all the other noise, we could just set off to the side. And so we pray that you would speak to us, open your word to us this morning, that it might be fresh and new. And Lord, I ask that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. So we started the series doing a song from an artist named Sia. The song was Bird Set Free. And we talked about what are the things that are trapping you inside of yourself? For so many of us, we're living these parallel stories, and yet we're too afraid, we're embarrassed, we're ashamed to share those stories. This cycle of fear, shame, and guilt has a way of basically clipping our wings for our relationships with ourselves, with others, and with God. And so we talked about what does that look like to find freedom in Christ. What are the things that you and I need to surrender to Christ in order to truly be free? Then the following week, we did a song from the Avett Brothers called Ain't No Man, and talked about how often do we allow the words and actions of others to determine how much we think we're worth. When we talk about and think about self-worth and the ways in which we measure that, or we allow others to speak into our self-worth. And we're reminded that regardless of whatever you think you're worth or not worth, that God has already determined your worth. And it is of the utmost price in that he would send himself through his son. So we talked about self-worth, and we were reminded of the story of the five sparrows for two pennies. And yet God doesn't forget even one of those small birds. And indeed you are worth, Jesus says, far more. Where does our self-worth come from? A quote from Henry Nouwen, he said, "We have to dare to reclaim the truth that we are God's chosen ones, even when our world does not choose us." We talked about what that looks like with Avett's Ain't No Man. Then the last Sunday, we did a song by Justin Bieber entitled Purpose. And we talked about the ways in which God's purpose will always involve his presence. And we talked about daily purpose. We talked about divine purpose and the daily purpose of, you know, going to work and caring for loved ones and family and kind of survival. And we talked about how those things are important. But then there's a divine purpose that God has given us to love God with everything we got and to love others. And how when we approach our daily purposes, through the lens of our divine purpose, that then they have even greater purpose. Talked about how if we do our daily purpose or pursue these daily purposes of kind of just survival, I would call it that, our daily purpose without divine purpose will eventually run out and leave us questioning what our purpose is in life. Daily purpose without divine purpose will leave us questioning what our purpose is. And so divine purpose becomes the way in which we can look through and filter even our daily purposes. And we talked about the divine purposes of loving God and loving others, of having hope and being hope for others, as well as living lives that are holy. We use the imagery from the story of Moses and the burning bush. And what would it look like for you and for me if our purpose was simply to be kindling? We talked about the small pieces of wood needed to start a fire. What would it look like for you and me if our purpose was nothing more than to love God with everything we got, love others, and through that, that we might be kindling in the hands of God? What fire of love and hope and grace might God choose you to ignite in someone else's life, your community, in our city, in our world, if we were simply just willing to be kindling in the hands of God? And this morning we wrap up our series with a song from Kansas, "Carry On, Wayward Son." I want to talk about change of direction. And one of the first things that comes to mind when I hear this song as I engage it theologically is the chorus, "Carry on, my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more." I hear theological messages of perseverance. I hear hope. I hear a message of keep going. Some of us this morning, I would imagine, are feeling pretty tired, pretty weary, pretty beat down. Maybe perhaps over the last couple months or the last year, you found yourself shedding more tears than smiles. And yet, we're all still here this morning. Regardless of whatever thoughts may have run through your head anytime recently or in years past, we're still here. One way or another, we've chosen to keep going. You know, in Matthew's gospel, if you're taking notes, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I hear, when I think about this song from Kansas, I hear a message of perseverance. I hear a message of hope. I hear a message of carrying on. Now, I think the direction in which we carry on is also of utmost importance. They go on and they write, "Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. And though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. And I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. Masquerading as a man with a reason, my charade is the event of the season. On a stormy sea of moving emotion tossed about, I'm like a ship on the ocean. And I set a course for winds of fortune." I hear when I engage a song theologically, the other message I hear besides perseverance and hope is, what does it mean and look like to be wayward? The definition is it's a deliberate decision to go in our own direction. Webster talks about wayward as being defiant, disobedient, of being stubborn, of being headstrong. The Hebrew word for wayward gives you this sense of a turning away from, a defection, if you will. Kansas defines it as the things that I mentioned. Though my eyes could see, I still was blind. Though my mind could think, I still was mad. I was masquerading as this person, thinking that I had this reason. and my charade was the event of the season. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. If you're taking notes, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, perhaps a familiar story to you. You'll see the words on the screen. These are from the NIV. And Jesus was teaching when he says these things. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' And so he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to even be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate." Wayward to me is this picture of when I think about this song and I engage it theologically, it becomes for me the story of a way in which I choose to go after and pursue my own direction. When I go after my own wants, my own dreams, my own wills, and I want to pursue this different direction that maybe perhaps God might have for me, and I find myself like this young man in a distant country. And maybe this morning you are finding yourself in a distant land. Maybe you're sitting here going, "I have no idea how I got to this place. I never thought I would be here." And as you find yourself in this distant land, you're feeling alone. You're feeling hungry. You're feeling ashamed. You're embarrassed. Perhaps the chains are so heavy around your neck that you simply can't move, especially can't move in the right direction. One of my favorite parts of this parable that Jesus gives us is in the story when Jesus is telling it. There's a phrase when he says, "And then the young son came to his senses." And this morning, perhaps God is trying to help you come to your senses. Perhaps you've been so wayward and you haven't maybe gone off to a distant land and squandered some wealth and some sort of crazy lifestyle or living, but you've gradually found your way off of the direction perhaps that God was leading or intending you to go. And now you sit going, "I have no idea how I got here, and I'm not really sure I have any idea on how to get back." There was a point for this young man that when he found himself hitting rock bottom, that it shook him to his core and to his senses. And you could hear the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment that he has when he recites the speech. You know, when he's going to roll back into dad's house and go, "Dad, I'm sorry. I am ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I have lots of regret. You know what? I don't even deserve to be called your son any longer. Just treat me like one of your servants. And then hope shows up in this story. And just like the father figure, God is always waiting, always looking, always watching, always ready for you and for me to make that change of direction. We believe so much so that in that moment when you come to your senses and you make that change and say, this isn't working. What I'm trying to do in my life, it just isn't working. I've been pursuing my own direction. I've been trying to go in my own way, and it's just not working. I feel alone. I feel empty. I feel ashamed. I feel guilty, and I'm at a loss. And then by God's grace, he makes you aware of his grace. And grace has a way of shaking us to our senses, where then we realize we need to change direction. And the hope is that God is always waiting, always ready, always looking for you and for me to make those changes in direction. Wayward sounds like such a strong word, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but for me, when I think about it, I don't know that I would ever, up to this point in my years of life, I'm not sure that I would have ever defined any, really, almost any moment in my life as, you know, oh, that's when I was really wayward. That sounds, to me, that sounds really, that's a strong word, right? I think, well, that's like if I took off and went to a distant land. But when I think about it and the idea of, again, engaging this theologically, thinking about the way in which it's pursuing my own direction, oh, I'm wayward daily. All of a sudden now I can see times each day when I want to pursue and go after my own direction. And sometimes, thankfully, by God's grace, before I find myself feeding the pigs, that God's grace brings me to my senses and I can make a change of direction. And so this morning, for you and for me, I think the question becomes, what parts of our lives do we need to change? Do we need a change of direction? Is it a relationship? Is it a job? Is it your faith? Is it your calendar? What are you doing with your time? Is it your checkbook? What are you doing with your resources? And I wonder what might happen if we would be willing to say, okay, God, I need a change of direction. I can't do it on my own. And here I sit, hoping and praying and expecting that your grace might bring me to my senses, that I might turn to you. So that I wouldn't have to be wayward any longer. I'm going to carry on. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to believe that there is hope. But Lord, I ask that you might send me in the right direction. Guide my steps. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you are always looking for us. And we confess to you that there have been plenty of times when we have gone off to pursue our own direction. Our own path, our own plan. And so this morning, Lord, we pray that you would bring us back to you. Lord, that your grace might change our direction. And that as you draw us closer to yourself, we are thankful and we are humbled that you are there waiting for us with open arms. Lord, that we are reminded that there is no chain that is too heavy to be broken. That there is no chain that has been placed around our neck or around our hearts that your love and grace cannot free us from. And so, Lord, we pray that you might even keep us from hitting rock bottom and turn our attention to you. Turn our attention and our direction toward home. Lord, we don't want to be wayward any longer. We've tried it over and over again, and it has left us feeling alone and empty. Lord, help us to know that as we journey toward you, help us to also know and believe that it is a journey toward and into freedom. Change our direction that we might be set free.